In a world with so many uncertain and confusing voices, isn't it wonderful to know that there is an objective truth outside of ourselves? That truth is found in the Word of God. That word, which Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our foundation, and through it we learn the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We invite you to join us today as we mine the riches of God's Word, searching as for hidden treasure, that we might understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. This week on Gospel Talk, we're considering the Gospel as it's revealed to us in the incarnation and birth of Jesus Christ. And we're looking at these doctrines through the lens, you could say, of the roles of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yesterday, as we began considering these doctrines, we discovered that it was the Father who sent His Son into the world. And the reason why He did that was for the purpose of redeeming those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Galatians 4, verse 5. So the Father sent the Son in order to lavish us with an inheritance. Like with Jacob at Bethel, God has come down to us and blessed us. And as part of that, we're no longer slaves, but sons. And we can call upon God as our Father. And according to 1 John 4, this is evidence of God's love for us. God showed His love for us in sending His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the one who would turn God's wrath away from us. That's the kind of initiative that God has shown actually from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, God went after Adam and Eve. He didn't wait for them to come to Him, but He graciously sought them out. Well, today we're going to consider the role of the Son in a little bit more detail. Yesterday we began looking at that, and we noted that we ought not to reduce the redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ to His cross work, as if that was the only important thing that Jesus Christ ever did in His entire life, was die on the cross. Now, that is crucially important. His suffering, His death, His passion, if you want, that is absolutely important. The substitutionary atonement, penal substitutionary atonement, is a crucial, essential Christian doctrine. Jesus Christ died for us. He took our curse upon Himself. But we can't restrict it to that. There's more. Because Jesus Christ also lived a perfect life of obedience for us. He did what we could not in living a perfect and righteous life in our place. Someone once compared it to a parent telling their child to clean up his room and giving a deadline. The room has to be cleaned by 4 o'clock. Well, dad comes home, mom comes home, whoever it is, comes into the bedroom and it's still not clean. There has to be punishment for that. And once the punishment has been meted out, there's still the fact that the room needs to be cleaned up. And so it is with our sins. There has to be satisfaction for our sins. There has to be punishment for the fact that we've broken God's law. But there also has to be a positive thing done. The room has to be cleaned up. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for us. He gave us His righteousness. His righteousness is imputed to us, credited to us. And that's why it's also critically important that we realize that He was not a passive participant in the incarnation. He was actively involved. He took upon Himself, as Philippians 4 says, He took upon Himself true human nature. He made Himself nothing. He actively took the very nature of a servant. And we ought to remember and be encouraged by the fact that He did it all for us, for all who believe in Him. And again, here too, we see God graciously coming down to us. We don't climb our way up to Him, but He comes to us and graciously brings us the benefits of redemption. And Paul makes that same point in Romans 10. He says that the righteousness that is by faith does not say who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Paul says, the righteousness that is by faith will have nothing to do with mankind climbing or descending, trying to manipulate Christ, trying to manipulate God through human actions. Instead, he says, Christ has come down to us with his word, and he's there to bless us, not to be manipulated. The gospel of grace says that God has done everything for our salvation. And that leaves us simply to believe it, to rest and trust in it. And so the Father sent the Son. The Son agreed to go, and he actively went. Now, what about the Holy Spirit? What is his role in the incarnation and birth of Jesus Christ? Well, here we can consider what the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:35. He told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. Similarly, in Matthew 1:20, an angel of the Lord told Joseph that the child Mary was carrying was from the Holy Spirit. What exactly does that mean, though? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit contributed the male genetic material while Mary contributed the female? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit created a clone just from Mary's genetic material? You know, friends, these are questions to which we don't know the answer. Quite honestly, the exact mechanics of the incarnation, it's a mystery. We could guess, we could speculate, but at the end of the day, we simply don't know. What we do know for sure is that the Holy Spirit was involved. His involvement ensured that the child to be born would be both man and God. Truly divine and truly human, but without sin. He worked a miracle. The Holy Spirit worked a miracle through his divine power. To say anything more than that borders on being irresponsible, borders on prying into the secret things of God, things into which we have no business prying into. Now, unfortunately, throughout history, people have not been able to keep themselves from theorizing about the incarnation, from prying into these things, from trying to come to some kind of understanding of how this can be so. One such person from history was a man by the name of Menno Simons. Simons was the founder of the Mennonites, and he lived during the time of the Reformation in the 1500s. Menno Simons believed that the flesh of Jesus, the human flesh of Jesus, didn't come from Mary. Rather, it came from heaven. He believed that the Holy Spirit took this heavenly human flesh and simply implanted it into Mary. The result was that Mary was simply the vessel in which Jesus Christ came into the world. He was only her son in the sense that she gave birth to him. He didn't actually have any genetic material from her. That's what Menno Simons said back in the 16th century. But there are any number of Bible texts which draw that theory of Menno Simons into question. For instance, Hebrews 2:14 says that Christ shared our humanity, our flesh and blood. Acts 2, verse 30 says that Christ would be a fruit of the body of David according to the flesh. And there are many other such Bible texts that I could refer you to. This teaching of Menno Simons has always been condemned by the Christian church as being heretical. For instance, the Athanasian Creed, a well-known, well-accepted ecumenical creed, a creed that is believed by millions of Christians around the world, states that he is man from his mother's substance. To deny this is to put your salvation in jeopardy. You need to believe that he is man from his mother's substance. Now, you may be listening to this and wondering whether this teaching is still around today. While the followers of Menno Simons, of course, are still around, and as I mentioned, they're known as Mennonites, but truth be told, most Mennonites, the vast majority, in fact, have actually abandoned this particular teaching of Menno Simons. But there are still a few isolated, small Mennonite groups that still hold to it. So I'd say it is important for us to know about it and to realize that this false teaching, this heresy, is not just a historical curiosity. It still exists. A far greater concern is the fact that there are growing numbers of Christians who say that the incarnation and that the virgin birth are irrelevant or unimportant. Among those is a popular author by the name of Rob Bell. Maybe you've heard of him before, the author of a number of influential books, also the one involved with the Numa video series. Rob Bell, in his book, Velvet Elvis, he says that the virgin birth isn't really all that important. He doesn't come right out and deny it, but he says it's not really that important. This is not a hill worth dying on, according to Rob Bell. And he says that if DNA testing were to somehow prove that Jesus had a real earthly father named Larry, we wouldn't lose any significant part of our faith. He says our faith is more about the way we live than what we believe. Again, Rob Bell doesn't deny the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, but he does deny that it has any real importance. To him, it's like arguing over the authorship of the book of Hebrews. Whether Paul wrote Hebrews or not really makes no difference. So what about it? Does it really make any difference? Well, as I mentioned before, the Christian church has always insisted that this is a core Christian doctrine. In Isaiah 7:14, the Bible prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. The Bible tells us plainly that Mary did not have sexual relations with Joseph or any other man until after Jesus was born. The child she was carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and this was God's way to ensure that he would be born as truly God and truly man, yet without sin. And because of his innocence and perfect holiness, we have the benefit of having our sin covered. So yes, the virgin birth does matter. Because what's at stake, first of all, is the truthfulness and integrity of Scripture. Rob Bell makes the assumption that DNA testing is somehow more trustworthy than the reliability of Scripture. That draws into question whether or not Scripture can be trusted. Well, we've run out of time for today, and I'm going to come back to this question tomorrow. We're going to deal with this a little bit more. How important is the virgin birth? I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow at 2:45 here on KARI for Gospel Talk. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We trust that the Word of God has blessed you this afternoon. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. The Langley Canadian Reformed Church always welcomes visitors. You can find us at 21804 52nd Avenue in Langley. That's just east of the airport. Our Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. You can find more information about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.langleycanrc.org. Once again, that website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can also write for more information. Write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Once more, that toll-free number, 1-866-288-1087. Our email address, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Thanks for listening, and be sure to stay tuned tomorrow morning at 8:30 for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.